as we're going to be speaking much about hope. In other words, we're also speaking about hopelessness. And many, many times we've got to say to our soul, rise up and start to praise God. You've got to command your soul, otherwise you sit there, whoa, 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 self-pity. And that's why, come on, my soul, sing. Okay, so that's a good spiritual tip. If you are feeling down in heart, start to command your soul to start to praise God and get up and start doing it. It's very powerful. So, Father, thank you that we can sing. Thank you that we can lift up our soul and praise you, Almighty God. We can thank you, Father, that we have a living hope in Christ Jesus, and we want to honor you this morning. Today, it's so awesome because you're going to, once again, just by your Holy Spirit, impart such hope, bringing about the dreams that have gone and fallen, bringing about mandates and destinies, bringing about purpose and reason for existence, bringing about the hope for the future as your Holy Spirit ministers because of who you are, Almighty God. And we want to thank you that you are God Almighty, you are sovereign, you are our Savior, our Father, and we want to thank you this morning. And this we receive today, the ministry of you, Holy Spirit, in the name and through Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. We're busy praying for our nation now. Let me just see if I've got this on. And today will be the very first prayer item that you can take and use throughout the week, however how long you want to. And that's the prayer item that we're going to be looking at today, is concerning hope. And for the body of Christ to be able to rise up and to once again live in the reality of a hope in God. And not a hope in politicians, okay? A hope in God. And that's what we're wanting to pray into this morning. When we looked at the video last Sunday, one of the things that God showed for them why God wasn't answering their prayer was that as a nation there was so much hurt, so much hopelessness, so much pain and just hardships that their hearts were broken. And the first part of their strategy was also in a healing. So once again, there can be hope. And they can begin to pray from a place of hope and not from a place of wanting revenge and justice upon their lives because of the suffering. And it's very similar to us in South Africa, where we too so often get so despondent, and we live in an environment where there's sometimes you just say, well, there's no future for us. We, the body of Christ, we cannot allow hopelessness to enter into our lives. We need to be the people that are living in hope, because faith, what is faith? Is hope. Part of the DNA of faith is this living hope. And so we want to have a look at that. So I want to start off this morning in Ezekiel chapter 37. And it's that famous portion of the Valley of the Dry Bones. The question is, what causes dry bones? Okay, and we want to just quickly have a look at that. So here we have Ezekiel. God has given Ezekiel the prophet a message for Israelites. They're in captivity. They've been there, and they are despondent. And so here's a word for them. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord, and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. I like the emphasis, very dry. He asked me, son of man, can these bones live? Incredible statement. And all the time, he's bringing it through into our lives today, and asking the very same question as we begin to understand what these dry bones is all about. And God asks us the same question, can these bones live again? And so we're wanting to really apply it to us this morning as we pray for our nation. I said, O sovereign Lord, you alone know. And then he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Did you catch that? Hear the word of the Lord. How does faith come? Faith comes from hearing the word of the Lord. Oh, so what is God beginning to share with us about these dry bones? How do dry bones once again come alive? There needs to be the word of God that the people need to hear. So our prayer strategy, keeping it up. Lord, let the ears of our hearts be opened that we can hear you speak. What's preventing us from hearing you speak to us? These are the things that we need to pick up now as we start to look at the strategy of God. So it's not just hear the word of the Lord. We're praying for a nation. We're praying for the body of Christ. Why aren't we hearing God? These are the questions we need to ask and begin to get, Lord, show us the reasons for these things. Okay, so there's a lot of insight in these scriptures for us over here. And he says over here, and then he said to them, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. Did you pick that up? This is not what the politicians are saying to South Africa. This is what the sovereign Lord is saying. Hear these words that the sovereign Lord is saying. Not what the devil's saying, not what your imagination's saying, not what your fear is saying. See, very, very important insight to the condition of the dry bones, why the dry bones are dry, why Israel is dry, and what's the solution that God is busy sharing for us over there. Because we need to ask ourselves, why do we live without hope? See, the answers that we're busy looking at. And so he carries on and he says, this is what the sovereign Lord says to those bones. I will make breath enter you. Keep that in mind because we're going to take this into the New Testament and you'll see the incredible reality of the New Covenant in this. I will make breath enter you and you will come to life. Does God lie? Oh. Hear the words of the Lord. And he carries on and he says, I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover your skin. Cover you with skin. I will put my breath in you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. Fascinating. So that they will know that I am the Lord. What's eternal life? Eternal life, Jesus says, that you may know the only true God and his son, Jesus Christ. Faith comes from hearing. Hope in Christ Jesus. All this is part of what we're wanting to pray into. And I'm just giving you all these there that you can write them down as part of the prayer strategy this morning when we break up in smaller groups. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and the tendons and the flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe into these slain that they may live. So I prophesied and as he commanded me, and breath entered them, and they came to life and stood up in front on their feet, a vast army. Army of God. South Africa needs a vast army of God with a living hope burning within them. And then he goes on and he gives the reason why the bones are dry. Then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. So that's the body of Christ, the nation of God. They say, oh, our bones are dried up and our hope is gone and we are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says, O my people, I'm going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from them. I will put my spirit in you and you will live. I will settle you with your, in your own land, and you will know that I am the Lord, have spoken, and I have done it, declares the Lord. So once again, we see an incredible reality of Israel in captivity. They've got all the promises throughout the ages. God has promised them. God has promised them. There's been the prophets that have been prophesying. There's been Ezekiel. There's been Jeremiah. There's been Isaiah. There's been the promise to Abraham. You name it. All the promises. And now they're living in a place and they've lost all hope. They've lost their hope. Therefore, they've got no faith in who God is and what God has spoken. They have no confidence that God is able to fulfill what he has promised. They're living in a place of hopelessness. And God then begins to once again speak into their lives, sharing with them once again the promises that he has made. And he says to them, I'm going to bring you out of it. Why? Faith comes from hearing. So once again, they can be a people full of hope. You'll see the reason Nana as we continued with this over there. In Proverbs chapter 17, we have a insight what the writer writes over there in Proverbs 17. And he says over here, verse 22. That looked a bit different. A cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. Cheerful heart is good medicine. In another translation, a joyful, cheerful heart brings healing to both body and soul. The one whose heart is crushed struggles with sickness and depression. How many Christians do you know that's depressed? We need to prophesy. We need to pray. We need to search our own hearts and, God, I need hope because I've gone into a place of despair, whatever it may be. So we want to receive today, because our Father wants to really minister to us by His Holy Spirit, hope, the living hope that we have by the power of the Holy Spirit. And I'll give you the scriptures just now as we carry on over there. In Exodus chapter 19, when God is calling the people together and he says something very profound. And I'm going to just read down verse 5 and 6. He says over here, he's speaking about the nations and how he's called them out of all the nations. And he says over here, although all the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words you are to speak to the Israelites. In Isaiah chapter 43, again, I'm just giving you many scriptures that you can use for prayer. In Isaiah chapter 43, and I'm going to read verse 9 and 10. It's in the context where God is saying to Israel, Israel, I formed you. You're my nation. You're my holy nation. I've called you, I've promised you, I'm with you, you've got a destiny. And it's in the context where the other nations are saying, but their God is greater. And they are busy all the time worshiping their God. And then he says to Israel, Israel, I've created you. And he carries on. And then in verse 9 he says, all the nations gather together and all the peoples assemble. Which of them foretold this and proclaimed to us the former things? Let them bring in their witnesses to prove they were right, so that others may hear and say it is true. So God has been prophesying through the prophets about the future and about the events and things that are happening. And God says to through the prophet there, let all those nations bring in their prophets and confirm and say what they prophesied, did it come true or not? And God says, but now you are my witnesses. And that's the crucial part over here. And he says over here, you are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and my servants whom I have chosen, so that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me no God was formed, nor will there be one after me. I am the Lord, and apart from thee, from me there is no God. So we know, again, what are we seeing here? Israel is a nation to be a witness of the reality of God, his dealings with them. What does Peter now write here in 1 Peter chapter 2? We are also a nation. We are God's nation. So we are also called to be a witness, to let people know who the real God is. So South Africa needs to know who the real God is. The majority of believers, if you speak to believers, listen to the voice, listen to the words, listen to what they say about the future, and you begin to realize maybe you and I are also saying stuff about our future that does not speak this hope in who God is and what he has promised for our lives. But we're speaking despair and hopelessness. Okay, so there's a repentance for us and there's a prayer for the body of Christ in South Africa, because we are God's witnesses for this nation. As Israel was, the house of Israel was the witnesses to all the other nations. Now, Hebrews 11 verse 1, I'm going to read from another translation, and we read here, now faith brings our hope into reality. So when God spoke through the prophet, hear these words, hearing the words from God, the sovereign God, what's happening? Later on, he gives them a promise. Now, because they believe, now their hope is rooted in the reality that God has spoken. He is a sovereign God. And notice how many times he used the word, I am the sovereign God. This is a sovereign God that's speaking. The God who is in control. The God who is God. Not the other Egyptian gods, the Babylonian gods, or the other gods that different nations are worshipping. No, I have called you. You are my chosen possession. You are my nation. You are my witness. And I'm speaking to you as my holy nation. I'm giving you a word so that all the other nations and you will know that I am the sovereign God. What I say is true. You can trust my character. You can trust who I am. You can have confidence in me. And he's beginning to establish something in the family of God, in the house of Israel, in your life, my life, in the body of Christ over here. And so now faith brings our hopes into reality and becomes the foundation needed to acquire things we long for. So we know hope is often referred to future confidence. But we also know that when we're speaking about hope, there's different kinds of hope. For most of you, you've got total confidence that 1 + 1 = 2. You've got faith. That's a mythical faith. You've got total confidence in that formula. For many of you who deal with formulas, you've got total confidence that when you do this, you do that, that's going to be the results. That's the kind of faith there is. But there's another kind of faith where it's more on the human side, where we have confidence in people or confidence in ourselves, but there's no guarantee that that's ever going to materialize because of circumstances. That person may have promised something and then they get sick and they cannot fulfill their promise, or situations change and they can't fulfill their promises. And then there's another faith. And this is what we always speak about, this God faith that God has given to you and I. And this is the faith that is rooted in who he is, the everlasting sovereign God. And this is where our hope rests, in who he is. Not in who we are, not in our abilities, not in 1 + 1 = 2, but in God. Okay, and so we want to pray something very important this morning in all of us. Now, a few more scriptures that I'd like to look at is 1 Peter. It is fascinating that God is sharing with Daniel, the prophet Daniel, about the future. And he's sharing through the dreams of Nebuchadnezzar and through many, many dreams, different kingdoms. He's sharing about wars. He's sharing about world powers that's coming and invading and shifting the political arena and the nations. He's sharing about all of these things. He's sharing about much suffering and pain. And in all of this, he says to the people in Daniel, he says in Daniel chapter 11, verse 33, he says to the people, listen, these wise men, these wise people that understand the times, and they will be able to encourage. They will be able to help Israel, the house of God, through all of this. Because they've got insight. They have an understanding of what God has prophesied. They believe what God spoke through the prophets of what's taking place. So they're not, well, oh, what's happening to us? They know that there's going to be different kingdoms coming and going. They know that there's going to be wars. They know these things. God has spoken to the body of Christ. He shared with us about wars. He shared with us about kingdoms against kingdoms, nations against nations. He shared with us about so many things. So we're not going to be, whoa, what's happening? Oh no, let's go into despair. He shared with us the reality of the second coming of Jesus. He shared with us, go through the book of Revelation and you see incredible insight of hope for the world. For us as believers, and it's so much that he's spoken to us. So we're not people that are going to be standing over there, oh, what's happening? Oh no, what's happening? Let me leave the country. No! We are the people that can stand because God has spoken. We've got the wisdom, God's insights of what's taking place. So we're able to help, we're able to speak, we're able to share, we're able to communicate to many, many people because we believe. But if we don't have the hope within us, we all speak the same language as everybody else. And it's despair, it's hopelessness, this is pathetic, etc., etc. That's not the words of hope. That's the words of Israel, full of despair. God, are we ever going to get delivered? Where God has spoken 70 years, you're going to be here. After 70 years, you're going back. He has spoken. And now they're doubting that. How many promises has God given to you and I? And we believed, but now suddenly we don't believe anymore. Hope is gone. God wants to raise that. God wants to minister to that today. God wants us to be open to receive, to be honest with ourselves and say, I'm full of unbelief right now. I need hope again. I need you to resurrect within me those dreams that you placed within me. I need you to resurrect within me once again, to bring alive by your spirit, to breathe into my body so that once again I can now begin to move forward and fulfill my mandate, fulfill my purpose in life. Imagine the body of Christ in South Africa. Imagine us. See? Happy Sunday, everybody. Why doesn't God answer prayer? Just maybe the prayer is a prayer of unbelief. There's no hope in the prayer. There's no faith in the prayer. And then we get despondent because, God, I've been praying, but there's no. When Paul writes over there and he says, in all things give thanks. Thanks is a flowing with hope. Knowing that we got confidence in the Almighty God. He's hearing our prayers. It's full of hope, full of faith. When he says, if you lack wisdom, ask, believing that you will receive, full of hope, full of faith, confident expectation that God is true to his word and we can receive. So it's a lifestyle that we're looking at this morning. So let's carry on. But now, let's go back to Daniel. In Daniel chapter 12 now. So there's these wise men and women, these wise people there that's able to help Israel in their time of despondency, to share what's taking place, to encourage them so that they are strengthened, so that they can continue people of hope because they know God's in control. And then later on in chapter 12, in the context of suffering and pain and wars, God says, the nations are going through all that, but my people, they are becoming strong. Fascinating. In the midst of all the pain and suffering, but my people are becoming strong. They are becoming holy. They are becoming, they are being refined. They are growing. That's profound. Because we just sang a song from Jude 22 to 23, 24, unto him was able to keep us, to present us blameless before him. We just sang that song. See, so now we know we might be going through many kinds of trials and tribulations, but we know in all of this, God is busy working by his Holy Spirit in the body of Christ. We are becoming strong. You're renewing our mind. We have, once again, having to wrestle. We're once again having to fight. Once again, going to have to renew our, take our every thought captive, renew our mind. We're once again having to work hard and encouraging and keeping focus. We're becoming strong in Christ Jesus. We are learning how to stand in the day of evil. We are learning so much that we're becoming strong in all of this. Because God is busy raising up a mighty army. When Jesus says, I will build my ecclesia, my church, he meant it, and he's busy building. He hasn't forgotten us. Worldwide, he's busy building us. He's busy establishing us. We're growing up more and more into the fullness of Christ. He's at work. The Holy Spirit is at work in our lives. Never think that we are people without hope. Never think that we've been abandoned. No. In the midst of all the pain and the sufferings in our nation, whatever's taking place, God is at work in his family. And there comes an incredible remnant, this mighty army of the Lord. It's got now flesh and bone. It's got now Holy Spirit's power within. It's got hope because they've heard God speak. And now they can go as an army, with our King Jesus Christ leading us. Good future. A good tomorrow and a good this afternoon. We have a mighty God. 1 Peter chapter 1. Peter is writing and the people are being persecuted. They've been scattered all over. And he says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In the midst of persecution, in the midst of tough times, and he says to them, praise. Why can they praise God? Why can they? Hallelujah, as we've been singing. In his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope. He has given us a new birth into a living hope. So when we were born in this world through the natural, we were born in the line of Adam, through the blood of Christ and through the incredible work of Jesus Christ, we died to that Adam, we're now in Christ Jesus, we've been born into this incredible living hope. In other words, this hope is alive. In other words, this hope is different to worldly hope. In other words, this hope, because it's a living hope, and God is the definition of what he speaks about living, it's eternal hope. It's full of his life. It's full of his power. It's full of his insight, full of his wisdom. It's full of him, because it's his hope. And we now have been born into this living hope. So that is why it carries on and it speaks about this incredible truth. So it's burst out into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Imagine if Jesus wasn't raised from the dead. We wouldn't have a living hope. But because of his resurrection, we have a living hope. We know our future. We know our destiny. We know the reality of the blood of Christ, what it's done for us. We know that when we leave this planet Earth, it's not the end of us. We know what heaven waits us. We know there's no condemnation for us in Christ Jesus. We know that God will never leave us nor forsake us. We know these things because of the resurrection of Jesus. So we have this incredible, there's so much more, but that this is this part that you can begin to meditate and to grow in your prayer life for the body of Christ. Who through faith, notice this, goes, let me go back to verse 4, and into inheritance that can never perish, spoil or fade, kept in heaven for you. This is part of this incredible hope that we have looking into our future of an incredible inheritance that God himself keeps. It'll never fade or never perish. In South Africa, inheritance gets stolen. In heaven, it will not be stolen. Kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded. Once again, we see the word faith, are shielded by God's power until the coming of that salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. Now, in all of this, you greatly rejoice. In the reality that you are in this living hope, in the reality that there's a future, in the reality that this incredible inheritance that God has kept for us, in all of this, you greatly rejoice because there's hope. He says, but in all of this, you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have to suffer grief and all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you have loved him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, the fruit of hope. You are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Just as in Daniel, the people are suffering. But in the midst of all the wars that are taking place, the house of Israel is rising up, being strengthened in God. Likewise today, the body of Christ in this nation, despite everything that's taking place, is being strengthened by God. And there's a body that's rising up. It's no longer compromising with the world. There's a body that's rising up that knows that we are light in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a body of Christ rising up that's saying no to the life of darkness. I'm not going to participate in darkness. It's yes to Jesus. It's a body of Christ that's rising up that is totally surrendered to God. It's a body of Christ that's saying, yes, Lord, your will be done. It's a body of Christ that is prepared to die for the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're in an amazing time now in the history of the church in this particular nation and worldwide. Now, here is the scripture that I think will play a big role this morning. And that's in Romans chapter 15. It's an amazing scripture in verse 13 of Romans 15. Paul is, it's like he's speaking to the people, and it's also like a prayer at the same time. So as you and I speak to one another, as we speak to the body of Christ, it's also a prayer that Paul is busy praying here. May the God of hope, powerful, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, as you believe in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. What an incredible prayer for us today. Asking a God of hope, to fill us with all hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So we go back to Ezekiel 37, where speak to the dry bones, let them hear the word of God so that they can believe. And let me release the power of the Holy Spirit within them so that they can live. Same new covenant reality over here. So that we can believe. Faith comes from hearing. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Audrey, do you want to share the prayer this morning, your encounter about mandates and about abortion and things like it concerning hope? Do you have words yet? Yeah.
So this morning I woke up from, I don't know if it's a dream or encounter, I don't understand those things yet, I have the words for it, but it started off in an abortion clinic, and it was just like the atmosphere was like completely horrible, maybe that's one word. So there was a lot of hopelessness, it's the one, despair, fear, and death. That was the other thing. So I just knew I wanted to get out of there. And then I woke up and I asked God, what's happening or where are we? And then He spoke about Ezekiel 37 and the dry bones. And then He showed me that, like it is with an abortion clinic with babies being aborted and destinies and lives being taken, it's the same with us having mandates, having destinies, having callings on our lives, all of that that's within us. But it's like being aborted for various reasons. But the thing was that it was like a vicious cycle because the mandates didn't completely die, so people could just leave it behind and move on. Or the dreams or the callings didn't completely die. It was still alive a little bit. And that was the torture because it was still alive, but the person had no hope to work with it and to bring it into fruition. So there was that, always that little bit of, I want it to die, but it doesn't die. So it's like that inner conflict the whole time. And that, I don't know which is worse, like just having it die or having to live a lifetime with that inner conflict. So it's really a time for, the resurrection of mandates and destinies and hope. And, then Jesus also showed the cross, His cross. And the resurrection life in that. So that there's no need to be in this struggle of having half alive, half dead destinies and mandates and callings. But that we can, with the hope He gives through the Holy Spirit, see it being birthed.
And this is why this morning that we have communion. The importance of praying, yes.
Hello everyone. I was in this dream. It was like everyone was praying, or who thought they knew what prayer is, who were prideful would go to this dark place full of purple, and four times I would go there in my dream. Then all of a sudden, I chose to pray in a different way and let Jesus into my heart. And I went into this very beautiful place, very white, where all the saints were, and it was such a relief, a beautiful relief. It was fun, and I enjoyed what the joy of being in Christ is. And every time I prayed, I started going there. When people tried to interrupt me, I came back from that place. Every time I prayed, I would go there. And then I woke up at 1:45 on Monday from this dream. What I see from this dream, it seems like I was praying at first, thinking I know what prayer means, whilst enjoying the things of this world. This means I would go to this dark place. And when I finally decided to be serious, to let go of this, things of this world, I would go to this place, which is heaven, since the dark represents hell. And when the Lord decides, it happens. As we can see, Joseph was good in interpreting dreams. And he interpreted 7 good years and 7 bad years from Pharaoh's dream, and it happened. And once God decided, it happens. So there is this verse I interpreted with my ex-girlfriend friend. It says that there's a new connection, and since there's a new creation, and since we have been taught of Christ, we must act right. And it says the world, it means that all things we used to do are gone, meaning things of the world, example, drunkenness and sexual immorality. So that dream means that when I finally chose to let go of things of this world, I can see heaven with my journey. It has been a tricky one, but like I can say that I'm untouchable walking in faith, because as the scripture says, a righteous man falls 7 times and stands up 7 times. I fell, and then I decided to not give up and make things right, and I'm here. And as we can see with Cain and Abel, Abel gave God a burnt offering, and it pleased him, and God rewarded him for doing good. The only reason he didn't reward Cain is because he didn't do good. So if you do good, God rewards you. It doesn't matter how long it was. You can come to God now. It's never too late to let go of things of this world. As an example, the enemy uses a lot of things, such as music and other things. And we don't fight with human figures. We fight with figures that we can see, which are very big and which are very demonic, and we are in the end days, and the day will come like a thief in the night. So the scripture is meant to protect us. And I stopped listening to this music once this artist said, make him say church when they see diamonds and stones in my Jesus face, which means like from the marine spirit, he believes in a different God. So you are welcoming like all those spirits by listening to that music. So we must keep faith and fight the good fight till the end. Because at the end of the day, there's only hell or heaven. Even if you are alone, you can be rewarded. Because Noah was rewarded and the rest of the earth drowned. Lot was rewarded. Everyone is rewarded for being in Christ. And the communion we drink every Sunday, it represents bloodshed. So we must bear fruit and keep doing good. I was a member of this church since grade 2. Imagine what it would feel like for all those years. For all those years to go for to waste. And all you hear is depart from me, for I never knew you. So get right with Christ, knowing when you die, there's a joy, and you can see heaven.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. Father, this morning we want to thank you that we can just be in a place of your Holy Spirit in really ministering to us. When you shared early on, just your joy and how you are just leaning forwards again, and just as we ask this morning, as we come and just believe that you are a God that is sovereign, a God that is good, a God that is just, and a God who has revealed himself in many ways by your attributes, that we can get to know and have confidence in you. So we want to thank you for a moment where, Jesus, you are the one that heals the brokenhearted. You're the one that once again, because of your incredible resurrection, you are the one that enables us to be born into this living hope. So we want to thank you, Lord, for your ability to come and minister this morning, heal the hearts, restore by the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Let those dreams, Father, you say that it's you that works in us to act into will according to your incredible good and pleasing will. And we want to ask, Father, that those dreams, that purpose, the mandates, the callings, everything that you've placed within us, the working of your Holy Spirit, everything that has maybe been in like a swamp of despair, sinking sand of despair, we ask now, Lord Jesus, that by the power of your Holy Spirit, there will be a resurrection in the reality of being in you. Because in you we live a new life, a life that is a life that we can live, that's worthy of being a child of God. So I'm asking that by your Holy Spirit, there will be such an impartation of love. I'm asking by your Holy Spirit that we will grasp just the depth of the love. Because again, as you speak to us through in Romans 5, and you tell us about this hope, and you speak about the process, about the hardships, about the trials, about perseverance and how character is formed. And out of character comes this incredible hope. And this hope does not disappoint us because you have put your Holy Spirit, you have poured your love into us by the Holy Spirit. And I'm asking that this hope will be so established and rooted within the reality of a revelation of this incredible love that you have for each one of us. So I thank you, Father, as we share this morning the sacrifice, as we participate in this most incredible time of your Son having died for us, but he's been raised and he's with us to the very end of the age. And we ask, Holy Spirit, as we eat and we drink, as we start to pray for one another, as we pray for the body of Christ in this nation, we ask, Holy Spirit, for such a grace for intercession, that you will inspire, that you will open up, that you will enable us to be able to really know how to pray in the Spirit for the family of God in this nation. And this we ask this morning through you, Jesus Christ. Thank you that we can be part of what you are busy doing in this nation. Thank you that we can be involved in blessing and just like Paul writes there, may the God of hope, may the God of hope fill you with all peace and joy. We want to thank you that we can speak that into the body of Christ today, into our own lives, as we share with one another and speak that scriptures into one another's life this morning. And this we receive and ask through Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. That Romans 15, you might want to, when you have communion this morning, you might want to just look at someone in the eye and say to that person just what Paul writes over there. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. What a powerful way to minister to one another.